Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to the Zelda Universe Podcast. We appreciate you taking your time to join us as we discuss topics far and wide in the world of The Legend of Zelda. My name is Connor Schultz. It's a pleasure to be with you again. And joining me this time to head the discussions here, we have...
Hey, everybody. I'm Amanda Van Heil. You've seen me on Zelda Weekly.
Thank you so much for being here with me, Amanda.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So, at time of recording, we are sitting near the end of August of 2023, which means we have had nearly 4 months, if I'm trying to remember release dates properly.
Oh, a little over 3 months, because it came out in May.
Came out in May, so we're looking 3.5 months since the release of Tears of the Kingdom. Last time we were here on the podcast, we had a bit more of a freeform discussion regarding the general mechanics and gameplay. This time around, we're going to take things a little bit more detailed, a little bit more in-depth in regards to the actual story that has been presented to us in this game. Fair warning to all of you, because we are talking story, this is... basically the whole thing is spoilers. So you have been duly warned. If you want to go in blind, go play it, love it, before coming back and listening to all of us rant and rave about everything that the story is and is not. But I kind of want to start there, just in general discussions on the story. And Amanda, how'd you enjoy it? Did you have fun?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was I really enjoyed the game, just 100% enjoyed the game. I liked that there were so many interconnected stories, how, like, what was going on in Zora. I know it's Zora's domain. I like to call it Zora World. So what was going on in, like, Zora World was also being directly affected by everything that was happening with Ganon, everything that was happening in, what was it, Gerudo World, Rito World, Goron World, like, all of those worlds, they all had their own individual problems that they were dealing with that were being caused directly by Ganondorf and all of that. Sorry, I'm a little congested today. But they didn't really know that was the problem, because it just seemed to be affecting them directly. But it was because they were all, like, isolated, seemingly isolated incidents, but it was all going on at the same time. And I liked that Link was familiar with a lot of the characters there. So most everybody, I mean, of course, there were some people that didn't know who Link was, but most of them, like, already knew him. So he was already established. And I feel like we haven't really seen that before.
I'm having just an idea of Zora World and Goron World. It's like we're making our own theme park that's just Hyrule, and I am all for that.
I would go there.
I would totally go
Especially
there.
Especially if we make Zora World a water park.
Would it be anything else?
I mean, it could just be like log flumes and something boring like that.
But I guess.
I'd rather it be a water park.
We've technically had sequels before, but this is really the only, I would call it a true sequel, mm-hmm. in putting everything, same world, same people, and that definitely provided an interesting continuity from Breath of the Wild to Tears of the Kingdom, and they definitely utilized that to a good degree, which was really fun. I have been... admittedly, of two minds in regards to the story. The first time I played through it, I was super invested, emotionally resonant and everything, and there were super dramatic moments that I was all in on. And then as I went back and I started looking through some of the details, there were several things that just didn't stack up just on a narrative scale. Pacing in particular, I have... concerns with. None of this is to say that I think of it as a bad story, but it's not as cohesive a plot line as I would particularly like.
Anytime time travel gets thrown into something, to me there's like, okay, cohesiveness is just out the window.
I have written a whole piece about how much the Zelda franchise just destroys the space-time continuum, so that's perfectly understandable. In particular, with Zelda's side of everything that is going on, a lot of people have expressed the desire, like, I want more of everything that's going on over there. And I can't help but feel like we got two separate stories and we were kind of stuck in the less interesting of the two.
I mean, that is true because she got to see Hyrule before it was really Hyrule, when it was just early Hyrule.
The most dynamic characters, the most interesting characters. There's a lot that I wish could have been done to bring that into the stuff that we were doing, like having either Rauru stay around longer or having Minoru be what she was supposedly intending to do and actually be our companion. I think it just would have made for a more interesting connection between what was happening then and what is happening, quote unquote, now.
Yeah, I definitely would have liked to have seen more of Rauru. And I'm not saying that to be like pervy. Like, I legitimately would like to see. He's a great character.
Rauru, Sonya, there's just enough hints of dynamics between them. It's just like, I want more of this. Why couldn't I have more of this?
I feel like they would have to make a third game in order to get more of that. So
Oh,
maybe we'll get some
gosh.
DLC or something.
I assume we'll be getting some DLC, which is, that is, of course, yet to be determined. I think it took 6 months before Breath of the
Yep,
Wild got
when we got
DLC.
DLC for Breath of the Wild, the game came out in March, and we got the DLC in, I want to say, early December, late November.
Oh, that long? Okay. Okay, so we'll probably, yeah, end of the year probably is the next time we'll.
Yep, so probably at the Game Awards, there will be a, oh, one more thing. There's
One
some
more.
Tears of the Kingdom DLC available now.
Oh gosh, Nintendo has perfected the art of one more thing.
Yep.
It's so good.
But yeah, I would love to see more about the early sages and what their story was like and what their community and all of that was like.
It really bugs me that they were very no face. They were very irrelevant, all things considered. Just that they were there at some point, some people at some point over there.
And then there were the secret stones.
My gosh, I hate that name so much.
Secret stones.
Secret, sacred. Sacred was right there.
I know.
They've used it so many times. It's just
We're
gonna.
just stone of power.
Stone of Power, that's good.
That's fine.
Relic.
Sacred tears.
Artifact, sacred. Yes, sacred tears. That would have been great.
And said, it's my secret stone.
Oh, it's mine.
And it
Except
just
that I'm.
sounds like a little kid talking about like something that he has in his hideout.
Except I'm throwing it out there and giving it to everybody else because despite it being secret, everyone knows about these things.
Yeah, they're really not that secretive.
Oh, dang it. I think I mentioned said it already. The pacing is kind of what bugged me, just in terms of the interesting story that we want more and more of. We got it in such piecemeal, and I was trying to my second playthrough, trying to make sure I got like all the cutscenes in order so I could see it in that regard. First off, it's impossible. It is literally impossible for you to get all of the cutscenes in order.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, because Minoru's explanations has two cutscenes that are a part of it, and there's
Oh,
one
okay.
memory that is in between them, but you don't get to separate those.
One of the first memories I got was Sonya dying, so I'm just going, oh, wow.
Oh Oh
Well, that happened.
That I think
So
is
at that
the.
point, I was like, well, clearly there's a fake Zelda here somewhere.
Oh my gosh. I love Doppelganger Zelda, and I just they could have built her up so that like the confrontation with her would have been like even better if we had no idea what was going on. But it's impossible to get to her without knowing what's going on. And so it's
Yeah,
just
like at that point, it's obvious that it is fake Zelda.
that pacing and that timing. I know why they did the memories the way they did, but when you're trying to develop a more fully formed plot that is integral to what is going on, you have situations like what you had where big moments can be spoiled out of order and in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it messes a lot of things up, and that's what bugs me the most about it. The story as a whole, as much as you can nitpick, is great, especially by Zelda standards. But just the way that it is told can be.
And that's a Nintendo and specifically a Zelda thing that's always happened, where they're like, we worry about the gameplay first, don't even think about the story, and then we'll throw the story in there later.
And to be fair, it has worked very well for them. I love every single game in this series, and for some reason, I love the story, and they do a great job with the story each time, but there are limitations when game is first and story is second. I want to backtrack a little bit to actually kind of where you started with talking about carrying things over from Breath of the Wild. It's fairly common knowledge that Tears of the Kingdom is the result of all of the things that they wanted to do in Breath of the Wild, and so they carried that over. And our first segment for today discusses that relationship between Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, because even though it's treated as a sequel, love the fact that we have all of these things carried over as a sequel, not everything is fully lining up as a sequel. So our first segment, we're going to have Jason and Jory talking to us a little bit about what that carryover looks like.
Hello, everybody. This is Jason and Jory. We are going to be
Hello.
talking. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing all right, man. Doing all right.
All
We're
right.
just going to be talking about how well did Tears of the Kingdom story setting carry over from Breath of the Wild, and sharing our thoughts and opinions on how it went.
Yeah.
So.
So essentially, like, we're talking about like how well did it carry over? How
Yep.
well, like, how does the canon match up? How does, you know, basically just how good is it as a sequel in terms of like carrying over plot? All right. So do you want to start? Do you want me to start?
I can go.
Okay, go
So
ahead.
basically, I feel like they did well overall. I know a lot of people have gripes with the story in general, and as far as certain things with continuity. For example, there wasn't as much references to the Sheikah technology as some would like. And I know some people felt like, they kind of just avoided it altogether. I think there's a reason for that personally. But I also feel like it didn't really impact the story as much as people are thinking they did. In a way, because they wanted to tell their own story, even though it's a sequel to, Breath of the Wild overall. And in the way the game goes, it really did act as a sequel. It's just that they want to focus so much more on, Zelda and the sages and the whole time travel thing back to ancient Hyrule and, King Rauru and Queen Sonya and, really just getting us acquainted with them and, all the stuff that Ganondorf was up to during that time. Also at the same time, setting up this, the whole story or the scenarios for us to understand that these are characters that we're just now being introduced to that we might be familiar with by name, but they're not necessarily like the Ganondorf or the Rauru that we all know and love, even though they share the names in some of the similarities. Point
Yeah.
being, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No. Like, I was agreeing with you. Like, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, like for a lot of us Zelda fans, and I'm speaking strictly for myself, but I'm pretty sure a lot of people agree with me. For example, when that first opening scene, played out with Zelda and Link going down, and I was getting a lot of like Twilight Majora vibes, and I still get that to this day. But when he first said, "Oh, that's Link and the Master Sword," and he was like, "Did Rauru put his faith in you?" and blah blah blah. I literally was sitting here like, "Oh my God!" Like he's talking about Rauru, the Sage
No, I
of
thought the
Light.
same thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, it's like this is the Ganondorf from
Yep,
Ocarina, like.
yep, yep. And I know a lot of people were, once they got further, I think that's what really disappointed them in a way, because they were thinking, okay, this is gonna connect all the games, and we know Rauru and what he is, and he built the Temple of Time. And the funny part is this Rauru did do that, you know what I mean? So it's not wrong, but it wasn't the one we were thinking.
No.
And I understand, some people might have gripes with that, but I was okay with it once I found out, because if you think about it, I know everybody gets caught up over the timeline and stuff, and I love it. That's a whole nother discussion. We could do a whole nother podcast on that.
Yeah.
But Zelda games in general have always done this. They've always had, certain things that are like you know they continue carried over from other games. For example, you know the link that in that statue in Wind Waker is the link from Ocarina. You know what I mean? You know that I'm trying to think what else. The Master Sword comes from Skyward Sword, you know, things like that. But overall, for the most part, the games aren't really as connected as people, you know, I want to say champion it, you know what I mean? But it's more of a fan thing that they did for us, you know. And I remember the days, you know, I'm a little older. I'm older Zelda fan. Love you guys. How you doing? But I remember when the timeline was purely fan made before Hyrule Historia even came about. And it was funny because when I remember when her story even came out and they gave us the timeline, I was laughing to myself because I remember the fan. I think I still have it somewhere printed. This thing is so old. I remember the fan timeline that was created. They took that and just doctored it a tiny bit. And basically that was the first, you know, quote unquote, official timeline.
Right.
And then,
right.
You know, it's been changed, I think, what, twice at least? The most recent being in the Zelda Encyclopedia. Like, for example, Link's Awakening takes place at the end of Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons because they didn't want the people thinking that Link from that, you know, that series, quote unquote, died. And I don't know why people thought this, like, oh, he died at the end of Link's Awakening. No, he was just shipwrecked. I mean, it's Link. He'd be okay. You know
to be
mean?
Fair, the manga does a little bit better because it actually shows him like swimming back to
the
river. And it's like, I understand they had limited budget back then and they weren't really as much focused on like storytelling, but it's like, you really did just leave him out on the ocean.
I know.
So it's
my gosh.
What other conclusion was I supposed to draw, honestly?
Yeah. It was funny because I remember as a kid when we beat Link's Awakening, you know, original Game Boy one, and he's, you know, because I always used to go play Zelda games and do everything so I could get, you know, the full ending, blah, blah, blah. Even though back then, you know,
right.
You didn't really need that. But I just remember, like, okay, this, the whalefish or whatever, you know, he's getting away in the skyfish or whatever. And then you see Marin turned into the seagull. She's flying away. And then I'm like, can I get a ride? Like, why did he just leave me here in the ocean? But I never once thought Link died. You know what I mean? But I also didn't think that was the same Link from, you know, in Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons. But I also didn't think it couldn't be. Like, it was no way it couldn't be. Like, I always just thought Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons Link was
their own thing.
And, you know, I don't want to stray too much from the topic, but I say all this to say that, you know, we've always had games where they've led into another and, you know, they're direct sequels or they're related. For example, like even down the line, like we had Links to the Past and that Link that went to be Link's Awakening. And if you really want to conclude it, the Link from Oracle Ages, Oracle Seasons. But we also know that world translates to Link Between Worlds. And as far as like those games are related, you know what I mean? Like, you know, that's the same, you know, kingdom or from that Link and, you know, everything and Low Rule and everything. So in this game, you know, I know we had similarities and I think a lot of us got excited, but when we started to find out that these were different characters, I think people were a little disappointed. But if you really know Zelda games, there's no reason to think that the stuff in Ocarina and whatnot couldn't still have happened. And there'd just be another Raru, another, you know what I mean? Cause there's more than one Zelda. There's more than one Link. You know what I mean? Things like that, you know, there's more than one king, even though the kings usually have a different name, like what Daphne is, Nohansen, and, you know, stuff like that. But I still feel like they did good. They wanted to tell their own version of, you know, their Breath of the Wild-ish, you know, universe version of, you know, the ancient sages and their battle with Ganon. And I feel like they did a good job. You know what I mean?
So here's my stance on this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So like when it comes to like attaching to other games, that's one thing, you know, like they kind of established that, like, even though Breath of the Wild referenced other games like Twilight Princess and Ocarina very, very clearly, especially in that one memory. My main issue is that, like, when it comes to like carrying over Breath of the Wild's story to Tears of the Kingdom, it really felt like they just pick and chose like what did and what didn't get carried over. Like, so for example, like at this point, so first of all, we don't even know how many years have gone by since then. The only gauge that we have is how old Hudson's kid got, which is not exactly the best way to gauge how long a time skip has gone. It's like, say how many years. Like, it's not that hard. Yeah. Just literally give a number.
I think the thing is they didn't want to elaborate too much on that because I don't know, it's weird. You know, whenever we get a link that's older than like what 18, that's when they start shying away from the actual age. You know what I mean? So like you never really know. Actually, I think it's implied that in what Twilight Princess he's like what 16, 17.
Yeah, well,
we're not exactly.
Well, like aside from that, like there's a lot of things that just like. They chose to not get, like, for example, biggest thing for me, and I know you brought this up, but like the biggest thing for me was definitely the Sheikah technology. Now I can buy that they converted the Sheikah towers into the lookout towers. I can buy that. I can buy that the shrines went underground and just vanished, I guess, and that these new shrines are there, or maybe like these other new shrines were inside of the old shrines or something like that. I could probably buy that, even if it wasn't explained when it should be. What I can't buy is the fact that the divine beasts are just straight up gone.
Yeah.
And nowhere to be found.
Nowhere to be found,
and,
yeah.
And, like, the guardians being gone, I can also buy, because they've been shown to be destructible. They've been shown to be able to be damaged and destroyed, not just by, like, guardian weapons.
Yeah.
Even regular weapons do hurt them, even if it's not super effective.
Exactly.
But the issue that I have, the issue that I have is that, like, the Divine Beasts are just gone. Like, Vomito gets one mention throughout the whole, like, I've played as many side quests as I can get my hands on. Vomito is mentioned one time, and it's the perch that it was on. After that, like, no one mentions any of the Divine Beasts.
Yeah, they're straight away from it.
They're just gone, which doesn't make sense to me, because for one thing, like, those are pretty heavy plot points. Like, you can't you can't just delete those and just not give an explanation as to where they've gone. Like, I've seen people say that they've been, like, taken apart and used for scrap or used for parts or something, or they were destroyed because they didn't want anything to happen to them to where, like, they were turned against us again. Yeah. Now, like, okay, but consider this. Consider the fact that they're indestructible. They are not able to be damaged conventionally. Like, they have, like, certain points on their body that can be damaged. But in terms of, like, actually getting hurt, you can't destroy those things.
Yeah.
Well,
okay, so here's my theory behind it. There's actually a couple. There's one that's, like, you know, actual story-wise, and there's one that's, like, I won't say, it's, like, my headcanon. And if anybody understands Zelda like, you know, we do, and I've done a lot of headcanon things for Zelda games that have come out to make sense of things that should be. Like, for example, right? Nintendo, for some reason, I love these games to death, but they will not make them canon. The Hyrule Warriors games. If you really want to do a timeline thing and everything link, you could make the Hyrule Warriors games canon, and it would explain a lot of things in Breath of the Wild for it being the way it is, right? For
example, I don't know about the original, like, Hyrule Wars.
No.
Age of Calamity for sure.
No. Even the original one, because if you played that, you remember that story. Time got all out of whack and then kind of merged together just because of that whole thing that went down with Ganon and how they had to, like, it was even implied that Link that fought him originally had split up his soul and sent it to different timelines. You know what I mean? Different eras, just to make sure he wouldn't get resurrected again. So even if you, like, even if you include something like that, that could go a lot to explain why Breath of the Wild had pretty much every element from every other Zelda game in it. You know, Koroks and Rito and, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, that's another, like I said, that's all, we could do that another day. But, like, I've had to do stuff like that for my headcanon to make things make sense. Because if you really try to, like, sit there and just, okay, everything that happened in these games can relate to this. And, like, some people think that it's a dragon break for Breath of the Wild, and some people think, in Tears of the Kingdom, and, you know, all those type of things. And it's like, everybody creates their headcanon, but it's like, it's almost like Nintendo is, like, sitting over there smirking, like, hee hee hee. Like, we don't have to explain it because you guys will put it together for us. And what, you know what I mean? And then even in the encyclopedia and everything else, like, they'll say, like, the timeline is subject to change once new facts come about, and that was like their way of saying basically like, if we decide to add something new later or change something, you know, it is what it is. You know what I mean?
That's just like one of their ways of saying like, we don't give a crap.
Yeah, we don't care, man. Yeah. Like, I remember when they used to ask Shigeru Miyamoto, like, oh, you know, where does Ocarina take place? And he's like, oh, it's the first one. And honestly, back then when it first came out, you could argue that because it technically was. But it's like they don't put much thought into it. And if you really read what Aonuma and everybody says about how their designs are, they're not really thinking about time placement for Zelda games as much as they're thinking about what they want to do in that game, what they want to introduce, the themes and everything else. And they were really, really trying to get away from the Sheikah technology and all that in this game. And I understand, because I feel the same way too. Like, I was like, where's Von Meadow? And, you know, what happened to them? And,
where's my slate that I worked my butt off
So
to get all the upgrades for and all those pictures that are just magically gone for some
Exactly. So here's my theory behind it, right? One of the simplest theories I came up was just, you know, for the most part, things just disappeared. Like, I know this sounds, you know, oh my God, really? Like, come on, dude.
All I can say is that's like, that's probably what they went with.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change the fact
it doesn't change the fact.
Terrible. Yeah.
So here's what I think, right? I think for the most part, they might have just gone away. For example, when you go too far away from the Master Cycle Zero, what does it do? It just evaporates. It just disappears. You know what I mean? So maybe now that everything was done, those things just disappeared. If you think about it, the Sheikah temples themselves didn't even show up fully until Link woke back up after the 100-year span went by and he activated that first temple. Well, they never could find any more temples other than like the few that they did find.
Well,
so,
maybe, but like the issue is that like, where did they go? Like, they're not underground anywhere underground, which is like, we're expected to find them because everything else went underground.
So my other theory was that maybe a majority of the technology just got taken away when Ganon woke up and threw everything into upheaval. Because if you think about it, there's a lot of areas where like temples were that like they're not there, but there's like a big chasm now, you know what I mean? Or, you know, something is messed up. So that could be a thing too. Maybe he was like, look, they're not going to use this shit against me. Like, I use it against them, but they're not going to use it against me. But then that brings another like kind of loophole in there, because this Ganondorf also doesn't really act like he knew what was happening during the time of Breath of the Wild. So was that him acting, or was that the malice that, came about at like, you know, the malice that came out of him and, you know, acted on his own and, you know, and I will say this though, I always felt like in Breath of the Wild that wasn't Ganondorf or Ganon. I know a lot of us assumed it was demise and blah, 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 but that's never stated that, you know, that's even a thing in this, you know, like it's not even really stated that Zelda is the descendant of Hylia. You know what I mean? But everybody wants to swear that this comes from Skyward Sword, and you can argue that because, you know, she had the sealing powers, quote unquote.
Yeah, I mean,
she like, basically looked like Hylia when she was doing her sealing on Ganon.
It's very like touch and go when it comes to like what doesn't. Like, I know we're about to wrap up here, but I do want to mention one thing. Because you mentioned Hyrule Warriors earlier, and like, you know, in terms of the first game, I'm a little iffy on like if that could work. But the second game, Age of Calamity, is 100% like canon in its own way.
Yeah.
Like it has its own way. Because the people that showed up there are now back again in like Sidon, Teyvat, all of them that were there are in this game now. Weird that like not only does no one bring it up, but Suga is straight up gone. And I know everyone's been yelling about that, and I'm yelling about that too. I love that guy.
Yeah,
like I was mad when he was like not he's gone. He was like, "Are you telling me that like this character you've built up is just gone?"
Well, technically, if Suga was alive, we would have probably seen him in Breath of the Wild. So I'm assuming the original Suga during that 100 year span, maybe he just died or something happened to him. But I will say this, and I 100% agree with you. This is another reason why I say the Hyrule Warriors games, if at anything, at least Age of Calamity should be canon. We got the biggest, how am I explaining this? We had the biggest reveal of something that happened in Tears of the Kingdom in that game, in one or a couple of them, but one of them, the main one I'm looking at, is the fact that Tullin was mastering Revali's Gale in that game as a kid.
That's right.
That was a foreshadow or anything, if you really want to think about it, that he was going to be someone of importance, because nobody else in Naruto can do that. Not even his dad.
That's true.
And so when I saw Tullin, you know, was the new sage, it made sense, because I was like, oh yeah, he was doing this in Age of Calamity. That's like the first thing you see him, not the first thing, but like toward the end of that story, like you see him, he's like, oh, look what I can do. And he does it. And his dad was like, oh snap. And then Revali's looking at him, you know, Revali gives him that, that like, you know, the approval, the little Vegeta head nod. Like,
I love that. Yeah.
Very good.
All right. Well, it looks like we're reaching at the end of our segment here. So just in conclusion, like, I think they could have done a better job. I think like timeline wise, they could have done a little bit better, but it doesn't make the game worse by any means.
Exactly. By no means at all. Yeah. We just like a little continuity if we can get it.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, thank you all for listening in. We'd love to hear what you guys think, how you think they did in terms of that. And yeah, we'll catch you later. See you later.
Take it easy.
There is something to be said about creating a continuity between obviously related games. We've discussed already about how loosey-goosey they are with their plots, but when you are creating a sequel, an actual honest-to-goodness sequel, you do kind of expect there to be consistencies between the two.
I do find it funny that, like, the biggest continuity is Tool in learning Revali's Gale, and then he gets his own. It's like, the little baby bird is the one with the most continuity.
Oh, gosh, I find that whole thing kind of funny. Just in terms of Age of Calamity, because the reason Hyrule Warriors, neither of them are actually canon, is because they destroy timelines even more than a regular Zelda game does.
And we got little egg baby that can do pretty much anything.
A little egg baby that does whatever they want. Master Koga is apparently over 100 years old and yet is working perfectly fine despite not being a Zora. Nothing in there makes sense. And it's not...
That's
part of the fun. Exactly. It's not technically supposed to make sense, but you can see why so many people are like trying to wrap their brains over trying to make it make sense, because that's how you generally expect a related universe to work, and especially when it comes to actual sequels where it's supposed to be the same place just 6, 7, 8 years in the future.
I guess what they can do is go with, well, you know, when Zelda went back in time, when she talked to this person, this little thing changed, and that's why it's different. Or when she turned into a dragon, someone rode her and then fell off and died.
That's my favorite spot in the whole game now. That's a whole different discussion. But the thing about the butterfly effect, though, is that, it, like we said, just anytime you mess with time, all kinds of stupid things happen that don't make any sense.
Tomatoes started growing.
That's true.
Just so, out of nowhere. If time travel could make tomatoes suddenly grow, I think it can account for a whole lot of other things.
It could certainly count
for... I do want to know where the tomatoes came from, though.
That'd be amazing. At least we know where the cheese came from.
Yeah, well, that's a byproduct.
Look, if you're going to have tomatoes, you got to have cheese. Otherwise, you can't have pizza.
Yes, you can. My pizza has no cheese on it.
Oh, well, excuse me. My apologies.
Milk allergy. I get cheeseless pizza.
Ah, yes, that'll do it. How much should we actually hold Nintendo responsible for perceived lack of continuity or lack of explanations?
Not very.
Just let them do whatever
they
want?
There's no point in it, because they'll pull out some weird theory out of their butts like they did with the timeline and be like, oh, no, see, it splits in these three places. So, because they're basically like, oh, you fanboys want a timeline? We'll give you a timeline. We'll give you three.
All the timelines. I've mentioned this so many times. I'm going to put this in past tense now. I wanted to try and make a better timeline. I think at this point, I'm kind of giving up on it.
Honestly, I'm waiting for Nintendo just to say, the timeline is whatever you want it to be. I am waiting to hear that.
To be fair, isn't that what they've basically been saying with all of this, considering how little they really explain?
Exactly. So that's what they're going to say is we value fans' imaginations. So the timeline and story and continuity is what you want it to be.
The power is yours.
We would love to hear more of your thoughts. Please share your theories and story ideas with us.
We will confirm none of them. If there's one thing that has been carried over, I think, that's the most important is Zelda.
Yes.
Zelda in particular, this whole thing is essentially Zelda's story.
Right.
Which I have
It is the Legend of Zelda.
It is the Legend of Zelda, and I've made that argument for years, that it is called the Legend of Zelda for a very real reason. It focuses on Zelda far more than it focuses on anybody else, despite the fact that we never play as her. But this in particular, from Breath of the Wild through to Tears of the Kingdom, is focused and emphasizing her and her journey. All of the memories are hers, all of the focus is on her, and Tears of the Kingdom benefits from that to an insane degree. I would not be feeling the same kind of intense emotions in Tears of the Kingdom and her sacrifice if I did not get the time in Breath of the Wild to spend time with her.
Zelda got a very, this is probably by far the most well-developed Zelda, because we saw her, because usually we just see like the great things Zelda does, but we never see her insecurities. And now we learned like what she was scared of and how she didn't feel she was good enough and all of that. And I think this is a wonderful Zelda.
There are only two other Zeldas that have gotten that kind of treatment. Spirit Tracks and, to a smaller extent, Skyward Sword.
Mm-hmm.
With all of those, with both of those, you have a built relationship that develops over time, so that when it gets to that point, that climax where they are truly struggling, you feel that. If Tears of the Kingdom was just by itself, we would not have had that kind of attachment. We needed all of Breath of the Wild to see her struggle, see her grow, see her come into her own, so that when it comes to the climax in Tears of the Kingdom, we have faith in her, we trust in her ability, and yet at the same time, we have seen everything that she has given up thus far, and now she is willing to give up literally everything.
I would like to have seen why she cut her hair, because you don't cut your hair that short without a reason.
That is, oh gosh, I had a theory about that, and I forget what it was.
But she didn't just give herself bangs, which means she didn't break up with Link or anything. It's the same color.
I am of the opinion that they did not become a couple until after Breath of the Wild.
Well, they're sharing a house in Tears of the Kingdom.
They are definitely sharing a house in Tears of the Kingdom, and it was one of my favorite parts. It's like, yep. Oh my gosh, not only are they sharing a house, they share
you can
a bed.
Share. You can sleep in the bed, and you can only sleep in specific beds. That's in this right. game.
There's only one.
And I love how the kids all call her Miss Zelda instead of like the princess and her majesty. They're like, "Is Miss Zelda coming today?"
Oh my gosh, it's so cute.
That just shows how like relatable and close she is to her people. Like she is the people's princess.
And you know, considering what the rumors and whatnot were saying about her in Breath of the Wild, she just, it's like an almost complete 180 from the public perception from back then to what it is now.
Right.
They know her, and she worked so hard to help as many people as she could, even helping Demon Flower Lady. Because Demon Flower Lady, oh my gosh.
She was like the first, one of the first people I ran into in Tears of the Kingdom.
That is impressive.
I couldn't believe it. I thought, and the thing is like when I replayed it, I did not run into her. So I still don't know where I ran into her. But it was like I landed and then all of a sudden I'm talking to the crazy flower lady.
I would be fascinated to see your hero's journey throughout that whole thing. You're running into the southeast corner of Hyrule before you run into like some of the beginnings plot points. You're running into the flower lady as soon as you run down. The only time where I almost went off track, like I should have gone off track, is I accidentally landed on the Thunderhead Isles
Oh.
The precipice before going in and finding Minoru.
No, I did that also.
I landed on that island as I was traveling to the southeastern corner to Lurlin Village, and I accidentally fell off. Like, I was trying to get to one spot on the island. It's like, oh, maybe I can climb down, and then I accidentally jumped, and I missed it.
Oh.
And so I inadvertently saved myself from spoiling the big reveal.
I don't remember how I ended up, like, over on the Thunderhead. I know it was before meeting Minoru that I ended up on the Thunderhead, because I couldn't see anything. And I'm, like, trying to go through, and I'm thinking, there's got to be some kind of thing I need. And I made it to something. I think I made it to a shrine. So one of the things they were talking about was, like, the explanation as to why, like, the divine beasts are gone and all the guardians are gone. So I definitely subscribe to the they broke them down for scrap Zonite theory. That is a possibility, because that might be what the soldier constructs and all of that were built from. Or when Zelda went back in time, she could have said something to somebody. Or Egg Baby could have, like, traveled in time and shot the one that was originally making all the guardians and stuff.
Oh my gosh. I was going through random clips on YouTube earlier today, and I just happened to run into the Deadpool 2 end credits scenes where he's just jumping back in time and fixing all of the stuff, and includes, like, shooting himself 2 times over. It's just, you know what? Assassination. This is going to solve everything. How do you feel?
It could happen.
It could happen. How do you feel about how much they reuse names from different stuff?
It's confusing because you've got Goat Furry Raru, and then you've got Big Dude Raru later on in Ocarina. Well, or I don't know what's later at this point.
Who knows what later is?
Yeah, I think you've got Ocarina of Time Raru, and yeah, like, it's weird. Like, you don't know if there's, I mean, I'm assuming there's no relation between the two, but you never know.
He did marry Sonya, so there's something there. Maybe.
I would love, though, to see, for there to be, like, another game where you get to see more of, like, the Zonai as multiple Zonai instead of just the two.
Ah, timelines.
It could, and then there's also, you know, you never know, maybe the new Hyrule that they were in charge of was the Hyrule after the flood that took place after Ocarina of Time.
Oh, gosh.
So everything's before the flood versus after the flood.
Those darn floods.
Yep.
Dude, if that was the actual canonicity of Tears of the Kingdom.
That's what I'm going to say.
Post-flood, that is, oh my gosh, that would annihilate so many ideas. This timeline.
That's my idea, is that it's post-flood because there's still Rito. And there's Zoras. Rito.
You got a point.
It was just after the flood. So a whole new kingdom started after the flood.
Oh my gosh. Well, Jason, you wanted a timeline discussion. We're having timeline discussions. And in fact, we have even more timelines to discuss, as Mary and Elias have elected to discuss what has been lovingly claimed the state of the timeline, which, if you can't tell, is a bit of a mess.
Hello, I hope you're all ready for what is probably one of the most favorite topics to discuss within the Zelda fandom. I'm, of course, talking about the timeline. But before we get into that, I'm going to introduce myself and my lovely co-host here. My name is Mary Stowe. I am the social media director for Zelda Universe, and this is my podcast debut. And co-host, introduce yourself.
Hello, this is Elias once again on the ZUcast, or Zelda Universe podcast. I'm not sure what we're calling it these days, honestly. There's so many changes with the podcast these days, but I'm here again. I do a bunch of stuff. I'm not going to go through all the list of everything I do for Zelda Universe. It's a lot, but I'm here to talk about the timeline and try not to be derailed too much. There are worse things we could be talking about. So the thing about the timeline is just a lot. I'm not going to tell you, because then you're just going to have me as a co-host on that segment later.
I need inspiration. I need ideas. Maybe I just want to have more discussions with you.
problem to solve in another podcast episode. But now the timeline's fine. It's just easy to get, you know, on 10 tangents in, and before you know it, 2 hours have passed. So
yeah, we'll do our best to attempt to keep it a nice kind of short, sweet, mainly Tears of the Kingdom e centralized discussion around the timeline. So just to kind of ease us in to this timeline discussion with Tears of the Kingdom, let's just first talk about what were our expectations for the timeline going into Tears of the Kingdom. Did you think Tears of the Kingdom was going to fix any existing problems? Did you think Tears of the Kingdom was going to, you know, make things worse? I guess.
Personally, if you're asking me, I thought that it would ultimately probably make things a little worse, but only because they probably just are not caring too much about timeline things that have been put in place by basically every game before Breath of the Wild.
See, I was being more optimistic. I was like, okay, we're getting a direct sequel to a game that, okay, yeah, it threw a huge wrench in the timeline. Breath of the Wild is kind of, you know, started this other weird trend. We still don't even know where it is. I was hoping that Tears of the Kingdom would bring a resolution to that in some way, shape, or form. It has not. If anything, it has given me...
There's no concept of, like, a lore keeper over there.
I have so many more questions.
You see reporters ask Anuma and the director and, like, all the Zelda people, like, something, something, timeline, something. They just laugh. That's their response to it. They laugh because they just don't care.
They're like, LOL, we made a timeline because fans wanted us to, but now it's there. We don't know what to do with it. So I'm just going to dive right into, speaking of them just being LOL about things, the big thing that bothers me currently is the imprisoning war and them calling this major. Exactly. Is there one? Is there two? Because in the official timeline up until this point, up until Tears of the Kingdom, the imprisoning war happened after A Link to the Past. It happened before A Link to the Past. So it was a named established event that, we didn't know a lot about. Like, we didn't know a lot about the imprisoning war. But from what we've seen in flashbacks with, like, Rauru and Queen Sonya, they're talking about an imprisoning war that happens before Minish Cap.
That seems to be the likely scenario, yes. This is now one of two imprisoning wars, this being the first and the other being the second.
But why use that name of an existing thing? Because I started up Tears of the Kingdom, heard imprisoning war, and I was like, oh, we're about to figure out, like, where, like, which timeline this is in. I was, like, excited.
Well, they name dropped that, and that was it for me. I was like, oh, I know exactly where this is in the timeline.
Yeah.
That was all I needed, right? And then you play the game, and it's like, oh, never mind. So, yeah. It's very unfortunate that they called it the Imprisoning War. It fits because, you know, Ganon or Ganondorf or some, you know, calamitous being Ganon-esque thing gets sealed or imprisoned or defeated in some way, you know, dozens of times over the past thousands of years, apparently, right? So it would stand to reason, of course, there's probably more than one imprisoning war, sealing war, or whatever else. But yeah, it kind of, just the fact that they chose that name and now that there's two imprisoning wars on the timeline, probably, maybe
who knows.
It's not without, like, precedent, right? Like, Earth has two world wars. We just call it World War One, World War Two, you know, Imprisoning War One, Imprisoning War Two. But still, it's it could have had a little more thought put into that aspect.
Yes.
Which, so they just do not seem to want to put thought into.
Yeah, but now I'm kind of wondering, so I already mentioned, like, this is an event that happened, you know, after Skyward Sword, pre-Minish Cap, I think, is kind of where...
That seems to be the general consensus on where the flashback events took place. Yes.
So something I just thought of, it's never really occurred to me. Do we think we'll see a game go backwards in the timeline? Do we think we'll see something happen during that imprisoning war? I mean, Skyward Sword was released much later and it's the start of the timeline. We could jump back again.
I don't think we'll have a playable game during that era. No, because they took, you know, half of the story in this game is just events from that era, right? Like that story is now told. And I don't see them going to retell the other perspective because it was already told.
I want to know more about like the sages that we saw, like, I think I discussed with you, like, I'm confused about like the Rito specifically and like,
yeah, this means that, you know, the Rito were there the whole time.
Yeah. Because supposedly the Rito evolved from the Zora to survive.
The Wind Waker Rito did.
Yes.
According to what they said, at the time of that game's release, they never said that about the Breath of the Wild Rito. And they can get away with not saying that about them because they look so different and it's so far ahead.
Okay, but this, like you said, this means they were always there. And I guess there could be two different types of Rito.
There's multiple types of Zora.
Multiple types of Zora. So still, that's like a detail that bothers
me. This is never, like, with every Zelda game that comes out, even if they were to try at this point, because of how convoluted everything is up to this point, nothing is going to tie everything up in a pretty little bow. There's always going to be assumptions you have to make, or, like, things that you just have to, like, assume that they did, because, like, it's a mess. It's a mess. It's okay, a tangled web of mess.
I think that's what bothers me, is I'm one of those people that wants it to be tied up in, like, a pretty bow, or at least
I would love that. But I would have to go back in time 35 years to do it.
I want like lore entries. I want like to be able to piece things together somehow. I don't know.
No, so there's another explanation though that would tie things up in a pretty little bow, but would not. I don't think as many people would accept and or like it, and that's the retcon route, right? You look at some of the things in the flashback, right? Some of the events are eerily similar to scenes and stuff you see in Ocarina of Time, right? But it's totally different than what happened in Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
So one explanation is they're just retconning things and doing their own sort of separate timeline entirely. And that's, you know, around the Ocarina of Time part of it. It still doesn't explain sort of like how this Ganondorf is coexisting and was just hanging out under the castle while Calamity Ganon was also a thing and doing. It's like the simultaneous Ganon thing, but that is an explanation where I could maybe see them having like thought about like timeline placement and just like telling this story in the way that they did, say, let's just see. And that's another thing they've said in interviews after they're done laughing, is we like to see where the fans interpret things like timeline placement, right? And I think most of it is because they just don't want to sit and figure it out because they did that once and got a bunch of backlash. But two, it's, I think, maybe because they want to see what ideas are agreed upon from a community perspective, and then they can lean into that later on when that's more solidified.
I don't know how I feel about the timeline being completely, like, retconned. But you said going back to Ocarina of Time, which is where the timeline splits. So I'm looking at Ocarina of Time like the problem child. Like, you're where the timeline splits. You're where we get this multiple branching thing. It's a problem child in
so many ways. Well, and the thing, it's not actually. And I'll tell you why.
Okay. Tell me why.
The problem child, as much as I hate to say this, was probably Twilight Princess.
Gasp.
Because Twilight Princess comes out, and you have the Ganondorf stuff there. And there's like, well, how does that make sense with everything that happened in Wind Waker? And Twilight Princess, when that was coming out, that was when the developers officially said, it's a split timeline. You have a child in the adult timeline because of Ocarina of Time, right? So they used Ocarina of Time to justify the story being told on one grand timeline. Now it was a fork. Later it became a trident. It just got like you see, we're getting off topic a little bit of Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild, but to try and wrap it up, like Zelda game after Zelda game, they tell the story they want to tell in that Zelda game and expand it to a direct sequel if there happens to be a direct sequel, like Tears of the Kingdom as to Breath of the Wild. But they prioritize that story, and then they think about, oh, how does this relate to a grander timeline, if it does at all?
Yeah. No, and I was like thinking that, like, right before you said it, I was like, oh man, we've deviated from Tears of the Kingdom slightly, but it's a really easy thing to do when talking about the timeline, because we have so many other games that are affected by this and that have, like, you know,
well, especially Tears of the Kingdom, like, it goes so far in the past, you have to think, okay, where in the past, what between what games, what makes the most sense, you know, because
so I mean, I want to see us go back in time again, but anyway, before we get back, just go in circles.
there are other game franchises I'm a fan of that I'm so thankful have not touched time travel, because look at what it's done to Zelda. Just look at it. As soon as they introduced time travel in the Zelda series, that's when the timeline just went off the rails.
Yeah, and everyone always looks at Breath of the Wild and, like, blames the little egg guardian, Age of Calamity. They're like, it's that little robot's fault. I'm like, that little robot is innocent and has done nothing wrong ever.
And also, they've said that Hyrule Warriors aren't canon, which, like, man, you could say they're canon and the timeline would make more sense. I'm just saying, you know. And then, like, you think about every Zelda game with time travel, like, you could do another split from Skyward Sword if you wanted with all the time travel going on there, and then it's just a whole mess.
Oh, boy.
Which, who knows? Maybe that's the timeline they're on, right? A split from Skyward Sword, so they don't have to worry about any of the other Zelda games. Who knows?
They just, oh my gosh. It's like Breath of the Wild splits from, like, a very specific Skyward Sword branch.
Link goes back in time and changes things, like, 5 times during that.
Oh my gosh. I mean, anyway, maybe
this is fine.
I was going to say, maybe we'll see a Warriors game. The egg baby shows back up. We go back in time again. We, you know, are fixing things in the past.
I don't know if we'll see another Zelda or Hyrule Warriors until they get away from, like, the Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom map or area or whatever this period of Zelda is. Because then it would just be doing Age of Calamity all over again.
I think Age of Calamity was very good, though.
It was. It was great. It was grindy in the end game, which is why I stopped playing, but it was good. I just think that, I don't know, it was different enough from the original Hyrule Warriors that it made sense to do another one. I don't see them doing another one until Zelda changes itself again in a moderate way. So maybe in the interim they'll do Mario Warriors. Who knows?
Oh boy, that would be something. So, but I was just thinking on, like, a smaller scale, as far as, like, it's not really like the entire Zelda timeline, but it's more of the timeline events within Tears of the Kingdom, trying to figure out how much time has passed in that game.
Nintendo just has, like, no, they can't settle on their concepts of time periods between.
They can't.
Right. Like, they said that Wind Waker happened, like, 100 years originally after Ocarina of Time, which just doesn't make sense.
No, too much water.
The changes that happened could not have happened 100 years, even if it was some cataclysmic celestial flood, right? So then they kind of tweaked it, and I don't remember if it was just a mistranslation from the beginning or if they clarified later where it said hundreds, and we're just like, okay, fine, sure. And they said the same thing for Twilight Princess, hundreds of years since Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time, right? And then you get Breath of the Wild, and it's just like, oh, it's 10,000 years ago, the Sheikah were so technologically advanced that this happened. I was like, okay, well, wait, hold on. We've never even seen the Sheikah this technologically advanced. So that had to happen after every other game. And then 10,000 years happened. It's like, okay, all right, sure, whatever.
So
yeah.
Like, I have so many.
It's a mess, Mary.
I know, but, like, so many questions that go from, like, Breath of the Wild to Tears of the Kingdom. Like, the Sheikah technology, so different. How much time has passed?
Oh, and it's just all gone, by the way. Yeah, all the shrines, all the towers, all the divine beasts. Like, they're just, you know.
Kira just scrapped them and turned them into something new. Like,
they found a public storage and just threw them in there.
Dumped them in the ocean. I don't know. But then, like, how much time has passed since, like, Link and Zelda went missing? Like, clearly, like, children have aged. We can kind of guess. But I'm like, so were they still little kids whenever Link and Zelda went missing? Or did Link and Zelda only go missing for, like, a couple months? It's not really clear.
I don't think it was even a couple months. Like, It feels like it was a few weeks or days, right? Like
why are people looking at Link like, I don't know who you are?
Because you have to expect that this is potentially people's first Zelda game. That's a game design perspective that Nintendo doesn't know how to quantify with narrative and being a sequel.
I'm wrapping my head. Despite the
fact that other games do it successfully. They don't look at other games.
But I'm wrapping my head around, like, because I'm someone who has to play things in order, and I'm trying to imagine someone playing something out of order like that, knowing that's a direct sequel to something else.
You have to think about the 12-year-old that played Breath of the Wild when it came out, and now they're 17, 18 years old, right? But they have a younger sibling who's 12, and now Tears of the Kingdom is their first Zelda. Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. Just continuity with how much time has passed within Tears of the Kingdom itself is such.
Yeah, I don't think too much time passed between whenever they went down and awakened and the upheaval happened. And then when Link wakes up and dives down, like, I don't think too much time has passed in like enough time to where they're just like, because some NPCs talk like, oh, hey. You and Zelda just went down there and you were gone a little bit, so we started to look for you. And they're still just actively looking. Like, if it had been months, they would have just presumed them all dead, right? So,
I mean, not with royalty, the last royalty alive. I think they would just keep looking.
Not for that long. You don't even look for a president that long. So, yeah, I don't think that's the time gap. But then, yes, the point about the time gap between Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, it's clearly been some amount of years. Yeah. Because you've had people who got married during Breath of the Wild get pregnant, have a kid, and that kid is now of age to go do a thing, right? Like, it's been a number of years. The Zelda and Link are in their, mid-20s at least at this point, right?
Yeah. Gosh. Is that the oldest we've ever seen?
Yeah, this is the oldest Link.
Zelda then? Yeah, mid-20s. Wow.
Well, Link for sure.
Yeah.
Twilight Princess Zelda, I'm not so sure about. There's a number of like Zeldas and Links that don't have their age confirmed in any way, that they're just kind of assumed from context clues. But
right. All right. So before we start wrapping things up, do you have any final thoughts, feelings, topics that you want to dive into?
My final thoughts really are just, okay, I would love if they just stopped being cowards and would come out and say where it is, so that discourse, and gave the reasoning for it, so that even if it's something that doesn't make sense, we can just accept it and move on like we did with the last timeline.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the official Zelda website, Breath of the Wild still is not on there. They still haven't even officially like. It's set in stone where...
Yeah, it doesn't have an official placement yet, and it's been 6 years. Or I wish they would conversely stop being cowards about just saying, like, hey, we just don't care. We'll never put it on the timeline. Just stop keeping us in this limbo state, one way or the other. Just rip the Band-Aid off or plug it in, and let's all move on with our lives.
Yeah. I mean, no matter what they do... us as fans are still going to have our own theories, our own versions, our own thoughts and feelings about, like, do we like what they release? Do we not like what they release? If they're not going to release it, then we're going to do it ourselves. That's just kind of what we do as fans.
I think they're just afraid of not making everyone happy, which they're never going to be able to do. And so they're just like, we don't want to touch it.
Yeah. And I can understand that, but no one will ever be 100% happy.
Yeah, just suck it up and do something about it already.
You heard him, Nintendo. Just do it.
If you don't know how, we have a panel of experts that can help you.
Yes. Call us. Email us.
1-800-ZeldaUniverse.net.
We will get everybody at Zelda Universe together, and we will fix this for you, and then we will just take the blame.
It's honestly probably we have a plan. just let us make it official,
If people don't like it, Nintendo, you can just blame us. We'll accept it.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you everybody for tuning into this. as brief as we could keep a discussion of the current state of the Zelda timeline, I'm going to toss it back to Amanda and Connor, our lovely hosts for this podcast episode. And yeah, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
I don't know how I feel about taking on the responsibility of being in charge of the timeline.
Try and think.
This seems like a really bad idea.
See, I would just be super chaotic with it and just have way too much fun.
Just start pulling random games out of a hat. Okay, so we have this one. Okay, Spirit Tracks is now before Phantom Hourglass. Don't ask me how.
I think it would make for a fun improv game. Theorize right now how these two games are related in the timeline.
Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. We are now making Zelda 2 and Wind Waker right next to each other. Figure it out.
Okay, so hear me out, though.
Okay.
What if... No, I think the most likely option is that Breath of the Wild is just a whole other universe. Just like the Marvel stuff and DC stuff and how there's like Amazing Spider-Man and Adventures of Spider-Man. I don't know how they all are. But what if Breath of the Wild took place before Skyward Sword? And the reason I say that is because the Zonai technology is very similar to that of the technology in the... What was it, Lanayru Desert?
Okay.
And that means somebody had to have lived there on the surface before Link and them came down. But that whole place, so everything got wiped out. So clearly something happened that everybody got wiped out, or they all moved up to the surface or something.
So we're going to go with the traditional fantasy trope of all of the awesome technology was way, way, way back in the past.
Yeah.
And everything before has just collapsed.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, it makes about as much sense as every other timeline that's been proposed.
True.
Have you ever played a sequel before the original game in a series?
I have. I played Kingdom Hearts 2 before I played the first Kingdom Hearts.
Okay. I think you could get away with that.
Yeah, I mean, it has Tron World, so we'd always recommend it.
You were already sold.
I was already sold because it has Tron.
I haven't done it too much. I think Xenoblade Chronicles technically counts. I played 2, and I haven't played 1 or 3, so I guess I'm still in that process.
I have Xenoblade. I just need to actually play it. I started playing it and I got frustrated with the combat, but that's going to put me on a tangent.
That's a whole other discussion. Yeah. I have a whole list of things. It's like I need to play a new JRPG, and it's just like, well, anyway, whole different discussion.
A JRPG is going to be a big commitment.
It's a big commitment. They're all big commitments. Just like this thing is a big commitment because apparently Mary has entrusted the solving of the timeline to Zelda Universe. Thanks.
I've solved it.
Thank you.
We play one great big improv game with it.
That sounds amazing. We should do that. I want to do this now.
I will need a whole lot of alcohol to get through this. I will need a bottle of tequila and come up with some fun ideas.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, it's a lot easier to do that when they keep renaming things after everything else.
That's true. Like with the imprisoning war, was there one imprisoning war? Were there multiple imprisoning wars?
How many
imprisoning wars were there?
I was going to say, how many times have things been imprisoned?
A lot.
Skyward Sword.
There was the imprisoned. Like, what was the imprisoned? Like
Skyward Sword, Link to the Past, Spirit Tracks, Twilight Princess. Wind Waker, Tears of the Kingdom. We got half a dozen already.
Yeah.
Those are off the top of my head.
So it can just be one of the many imprisoning wars.
Man, I remember people were just back when we were just freaking out. It's like, oh my gosh, Rauru, that's from Adventure of Link. That's cool. And that's all we thought about it.
Yep. It's like, hey, they're all named after the towns. That's a cute idea.
That's a fun little Easter egg. And now suddenly everything is...
It's like, no, there's a reason why they were all having the same name. Like, stop!
I very loosely follow some lore crafting on a couple of other different gaming series, and it's, I am amazed at the gymnastics that people have to do to make all of these connections. And it's like, this whole thing is hinging on this random detail that has been thrown in here. And they're like, no, this is here for a reason. They did it on purpose. Are you sure it wasn't just because it looked pretty?
Yeah. And then the next one came and it's like, how can we connect these two? That'll work.
I'm sure they had the same bottle of tequila you're looking for. Just
I'll split it with them.
There you go. We can all have
it. Can't do a whole bottle by myself anyways. Gotta share it with at least one person. Not but me. I will take mental gymnastics connecting things over retconning any day, because I hate retcons.
I agree. And I think that's one of the reasons why people go through all of those mental gymnastics, because they don't like retcons. They don't like the idea that people are messing with things that are already set in stone, because then what makes sense? Nothing makes sense anymore.
Which, yeah, I would rather them say it's in a completely different universe than to retcon something.
I think, honestly, that's the better way to look at it. And this is the direction that I am trying to put myself into. I believe it. So, like, my heart believes this. My head is trying to get out of the rut of trying to make connections everywhere. This is the legend of Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
And a legend is going to change in the tellings.
It is open for interpretation.
There are key items. There are key things that will happen. The hero, the goddess incarnate, the demon king, I'm not suing the sword that seals the darkness because I hate that name. It's the master sword.
I prefer the master gourd.
The master sword, or I loved what they called it in Link to the Past, the sword of evil's bane.
Yeah, but I like the master gourd.
Oh,
like
the master gourd.
What about the master?
What about the master stick? We love the master stick.
I liked the master gourd. That was too funny.
But that's all you're going to get. It's a legend. It's a myth, which means you're going to get different interpretations, different retellings of the story. And
like, you have these main characters. This is what has to be the end result.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun.
And have fun with it. This is the... Yes, this is Hyrule. There are some things we know about Hyrule, but aside from that, things change. Places are going to be...
I mean, we don't know about other places. We don't know if Hyrule takes over the entire planet. It could be that, like, you know, Yona, she might have gone off to another school or something, and that's how, like, Sidon and Yona knew each other for so long. She went off to boarding school somewhere.
Another school of Zora.
Yeah.
Quite literally.
Yeah, I mean, that can't be the only Zora in all of the world.
Yeah.
So I think she had gone off to boarding school.
I think that makes perfect sense. And you don't have to get tied up with all of the details of why all of the Zona, all the Sheikah stuff. If it was actually Sheikah stuff, I have a whole different theory regarding that. It doesn't matter whether or not it was... where it went, as much as the continuity is much more important in a sequel, I'm personally of the opinion that Nintendo tried a little bit too hard to have things both ways with Tears of the Kingdom. They wanted a sequel, but they wanted a standalone game. They wanted an open world experience, but they also wanted a linear story, which is going to lead to a lot of discrepancies and a lot of contradictions.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to do something story heavy and make it super open. Like, you can do it, but it's very difficult.
There are some things they could have done to make it better, but there was always going to be some problems that were going to be unsolvable. And same for the timeline. They've never once made the story or the timeline a focus. And so at this point, to ask them to do so is, it cannot be done.
Whatever timeline lives in your heart is the timeline for you.
By all means, make whatever logic and whatever arguments you want. They are fascinating discussions, and it's a great way to see how these games and how these narratives could potentially interact with each other. If we want to put Breath of the Wild 10,000 years before Skyward Sword, why not? Or we can have it after the Flood. I think that's a fun idea to think of.
Yeah, because, I mean, Rauru seems to be a pretty unique name. Like, I feel like that wouldn't be a name that just, you know, for multiple people to have the same name. I feel like there's got to be some connection.
Well, they've been naming their princesses Zelda for time immemorial, so.
Yeah. Well, that's because it was ordered that all girl descendants were named Zelda.
Yes. Thank you, Zelda 2. Where that is in the timeline, who knows? Some people have argued it's at the
wasn't
end.
Wasn't it like Zelda's brother, like, almost accidentally killed her or something? It was like, how about we just name all princesses Zelda from now on? That'll make up for the fact that she's asleep.
Kind of, sort of. It was Zelda's brother and this wizard. The wizard was like, dude, Zelda knows where the Triforce of Courage is.
I just seriously wonder about their dad's parenting skills. For him to be like, oh, there's nobody worthy of taking the Triforce. It's like, well, clearly you're saying your own child is not good enough.
Well, nature versus nurture. There's but so much you can do. And at least he had the foresight to see, sorry, buddy, I love you, but you ain't it.
Well, between the two of them, it sounds to me like Zelda should have gotten it. Or he shouldn't have gotten anything.
No kidding.
If he's like, he can have two of them, but not all three. Like, dude, no. It's either all three or nothing. And it sounds to me like it needs to be nothing with this guy.
And considering the two that he got, is like, maybe he shouldn't have gotten either of them. Because the king was basically saying, son, you're a coward.
I don't see how he's got that much wisdom either. He's not that bright.
There's that. Yeah, then there's that. Well, anyway.
Maybe gave him the Triforce of Wisdom, hoping it would make him smart.
Well,
that's what it was.
You tried.
Here, we're going to give you the Triforce of Wisdom. We know you're not very smart, but maybe this will help.
Oh, boy. Well, on that wonderful compliment to the royalty of Hyrule, this marks the end of this very entertaining episode of the Zelda Universe podcast. Thank you all so much for being here. Thank you to our segment hosts, Jason, Jory, Mary, Elias. Appreciate your commentary, your thoughts, your theories. Amanda, thank you for joining me in this exploration of Tears of the Kingdom and its relationship.
Of course, always happy to talk Tears of the Kingdom.
Thank you all so much for listening to us. We hope you enjoyed your time. Please let us know some of your fun timeline thoughts. And we will see you all next time.